White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. Sister Wilhelmina Rosalie Raymond, known to us all as Ray, is in hospital and very ill. A few days ago, she was sitting on her bed space, sewing away at the little handkerchiefs that she makes so beautifully to earn extra money to buy food on the black market. It was siesta time, but most of us were busy at our jobs. Val Smith was mending trompers, Woody was finishing a rag doll, and some of the other girls were busy making a mahjong set. We heard the tramp of heavy boots, and when Rasputin walked in, we didn't take very much notice, being quite used to the way they march in and out of our quarters. He walked up and down the block, then suddenly stopped in front of Ray.
Ray, when you've finished with the needle, can I borrow it for a minute?
Just a sec, Ioli. I've only got a little bit to do, and I'll have finished this one.
Oh, that is pretty, Ray. Is it an order?
Yes.
Here comes Rasputin wandering through.
Oh, what's he want? He always looks as if he expects trouble.
He always manages to make some.
Oh, Australian! Get up!
Oh, dear. What can I have done?
Get up, you pig! Tell me! Look what you have done!
I haven't done anything.
Oh! Look at the war! Look what you have done to the world.
Leave her alone. She's not well.
Quiet, you. Look what you have done to the world.
It's no use screaming. If you'd tell us quietly what we're supposed to have done.
Silence. Look there. You have damaged Japanese military property. Look. Look, do you see it?
Oh, for goodness sake, be reasonable. That's a knothole. The notch has probably been missing for ages, if it was ever there at all.
This house was in order, and in good condition before you starry pigs came into it.
In good order? It was a filthy hovel until we cleared it up as best we could.
It is too good for filth like you. I tell you, you have destroyed Japanese property. You shall be punished. Go outside.
But I haven't touched the wall. It's ridiculous to blame me.
Get outside.
Take your hands off me. Would you dare touch me?
Teach you to respect the property of your better.
Let me go. There's no need to drag me. Will you let me go?
The swine. The filthy, rotten swine. Look at him dragging her along. Ray of all people. She can't stand this knocking about.
Oh, Ioli. He's making a stand in the sun.
Oh, of course he is. He knows darn well that she can't take it. It's all right for most of us. We can stick it out, but she'll collapse.
What are we going to do?
I'm going to get a hat and take it out to her. It'll give her a bit of protection.
Oh, what was that all about? Why did Rasputin drag Ray out of here like that?
She's supposed to have damaged Japanese military property.
I didn't know we had any.
See that little knothole up there? Above her bed space?
Yes.
Well, presumably at some time there was a notch of wood in it. Rasputin blames Ray for there being a hole in the board.
But for Pete's sake... Ray can't stand out there in that sun.
Well, Ioli's given her a hat. Oh, look.
She's got it on now.
Oh, dear heaven. Oh, look at Rasputin. He's tearing out of the guardhouse. He's running towards her.
Oh, there's her hat. That ought to help her a bit.
No. Look. Look at Rasputin.
Oh, take off!
Oh,
you
stand and son. Oh, no. Oh, he spread that hat off her head and thrown it away.
Devil.
Oh.
Just look at him. And listen to him screaming at her.
Stand and son until I say you can go. You are not to move. I will teach you a lesson for being disobedient.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's knocked her clean off her feet.
Oh, she's fallen into the filth and the sweet potato patch.
Get up.
Oh, this
is terrible.
Oh,
no, he's putting the boot in.
I'm going to Mrs. Hinch. She might be able to make him see reason.
I'm going to the hospital to get whichever doctor's on duty to demand that she be brought inside.
Mrs. Hinch went to Rasputin and begged him to allow Ray to come inside. Then Dr. Goldberg went from the hospital to ask him to call it off. But their entreaties were in vain. Ray stood there for well over an hour, and all we could do was stand watching her, wanting to bring her in, but we could do nothing. And eventually it happened.
This is terrible. When does that yellow-faced monkey think he's going to let Ray come inside? Surely she's been punished enough now.
Look,
huh?
Ioli.
What?
She's swaying. She's going to keel over.
Oh, come on. Come on. Here, sit her up. Get her head on her knees.
Oh, for heaven's sake, look, she's completely unconscious.
Here comes Dr. Goldberg. Let's get her back to the hospital.
And not to be outdone, here comes Rasputin.
Look, one word out of him and so help me, I'll knock him down.
What are you doing? Hurry, prisoner, run!
Oh, go to blazes.
You and I only take a shelter, Shorty. I'll take a feet.
Don't interfere!
Get out of my way, you.
Right, my lift. Good. Now, as quick as we can.
We carried Ray into the hospital and took no further notice of Rasputin. He just stood there and stared. Ray is still desperately ill. We were asking each other how long we thought we could last on this ration. We've got our answer now. Years and years. What a day we had yesterday. Sister James was able to make a loan for us so we could buy extra food through the black market. The Indonesian Heiho guards bring food in nearly every night now. Their prices are outrageous, but it is worth it for a little bit of sugar, an occasional egg, fruit, and sweet biscuits. It certainly makes life more livable. Siki has made another speech about going to Muntok. And the air raid alerts have stopped.
What's the date?
14th of September. Why, Shorty?
I just wondered. Well, then, tomorrow's the 15th.
That's right, Einstein.
But according to Siki, we must be in Muntok tomorrow.
That's right. He did say in his last speech that we had to be there by the 15th of September, or it would be too late.
What did he mean? Too late for what?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, he's only got to say the word. We're all packed up and ready to go.
Latest ultimatum must have caused some heartbreaks. Only being allowed to take what we can carry.
Yes. Some of the Dutch people managed to save all their belongings. Poor things. I suppose they'll have to leave the lot now.
You know, it's pretty grim when you think of some of the families here. Mothers of, you know, three or four children who are too small to carry anything. It means they must get all the belongings they own in the world, plus their bedding, across to Muntok under their own steam.
You know, I heard tell of an auction sale.
Well, now, that'd be something.
I hope it comes off. Not that I've got any money much to buy anything.
Oh, you never know. We might get a bargain. Oh, well. Good night, kids.
Good night.
I'm going to bed.
There was an auction sale, so clothes are getting a little more evenly distributed. Ioli and I bought a man's woolen Jaeger singlet, took it to pieces, and made it into the smartest sweater in the camp, with sleeves and a navy blue collar. It's beautifully soft and warm. We wear it turn and turn about. A few days ago, a lorry arrived outside the guardhouse and next door to our hut.
Hey, listen. That's a truck. It's stopping at the guardhouse. Come on, let's get to the peepholes.
Talk about insatiable curiosity.
Oh, don't pretend to be superior, Jeff. You're just as nosy as all of us.
Of course I am. Can you see anything, Ioli?
Well, there's a lot of boxes. The Nips are unloading them.
Oh, great guns.
What? Well, I can't see properly.
Look what's painted on the boxes in large letters.
American Red Cross! At last!
Oh, nice work, America.
Just, oh, what's in those? There'd be milk, wouldn't there? Tinned meat.
Oh, sure to be. Uh-huh. And tinned meat and cheese. Look, there might even be some butter.
Oh, and sweets. And I'll bet there's chewing gum.
Oh, drooling. I wonder, will they bring them straight in and divide it out, do you think?
Not ruddy likely. Keep it for days. Oh, but just to know it's on its way.
Yes. Oh, well, let's tell the others. It'll cheer them up.
Jeff, I think I'll just pop back to the peephole and have a look at those boxes again.
It's tantalizing, isn't it? Seeing them sitting out there. Oh, never mind. Think of the feast we'll all have.
I'll bet there are medical supplies, too. Oh, things are certainly looking up. Coming, Jeff?
Yes, I can't keep my eyes off them.
If there's butter, we could have a lump of it on our rice.
And if there's sugar, we could have very sweet tea. Oh, I'm dying for something sweet.
Oh, here we are. Let's have a look at them.
Oh, I thought there were more than that.
Well, maybe they've started to bring them in. That'd mean that... Jeff. Oh, Jeff, look. Over this side.
Where?
Look, the guards are undoing them. Boxes and boxes of medical supplies. Cotton wool and dressings.
There are bottles of medicines. Look, jars of... Well, it looks like quinine tablets.
They're thieving them.
Oh, the stealing little buzzards are thieving them. It was true. The American women had worked hard for the enemy. The Japs are enjoying our tinned meat, cheese, and cigarettes. All the medical supplies were taken. Even the hay hoes are smoking our American cigarettes. We rather hope they'll choke them. All we got was more dirty rice, which we have to pick over grain by grain to remove bomb blast, stone, glass, and weevils. At last the rot has stopped, and the black market food is having the desired effect. Most of us stayed the same weight last weigh day. It's just as well we can get a bit of extra food on the black market. Our rations these days wouldn't keep a fly alive. We think the Japs must have a sense of humor after all. The food today for 500-odd people consisted of 2 pumpkins, 12 small gourds, and a basket of very small cucumbers. When it was cooked, we had a couple of spoonfuls of slightly thickened, pale green water.
When I think of those shrivel-faced baboons feasting on all that wonderful food the American Red Cross sent us, and here we are eating slush, I could spit chips.
Oh, me too, Blanchie. If we had to rely on this sort of stuff to keep us alive, heaven help us. It's so expensive to buy anything.
Do you know, Mitz and I worked out the cost of the few things we bought last week.
Uh-huh.
I nearly fainted.
Why, what did it come to, Jeff?
Well, for some tapioca roots, a few coconuts, and enough brown beans to do for 3 meals, It cost us 1,000 guilders.
Oh, good grief. Dear Lord, how much longer?
You had some of these?
Huh? Some of what, Rick?
These pumpkin pips. They were rescued from the pumpkins, and we dry-baked them and salted them. As good as peanuts. Have some.
Oh, this is the life. After-dinner savouries, no less.
Well, the news is good, isn't it?
What news, Wim?
The news about us going to Montauk.
Oh, that's old news. I'll believe it when we're on the way. These are good.
Haven't you heard the latest on Montauk, Ioli?
No.
What is it?
We're going next week.
When?
Next week. I thought you knew.
Oh, I heard rumors. I don't believe them anymore.
Oh, this is official.
Well, it's something to look forward to.
Oh, for the breath of fresh air when we get out into the sea again.
Onto the sea, not into it, old thing.
Well, you know what I mean.
It'll be heaven after 2.5 years of stifling here.
We have to be all packed up and ready to go at a moment's notice.
That won't take us long. If my family could see my wardrobe, they'd have a fit.
Mine too.
Now, take old Jeff. A smart sight, you will admit.
Oh, yes.
A shoeless, a pair of shorts that were ancient when they were given to her over 2 years ago, and that sun top. Oh, the cut and the style.
You're only jealous, Blanche, because I've got 2 pairs of shorts. These and the smart black pair Wynn made out of the nun's gown. And I have a sun top made out of the sleeves of the nun's gown.
But what exactly was the little effort you have on now made from?
This sun top? The tail of Jess Doyle's shirt. I think it's rather snappy.
Well, I must find something to make a pair of shorts from soon. Otherwise, I'll be forced to wear what's left of my uniform.
You can't do that, Reen. We've got to keep the remains of those to go home in when that day comes. Couldn't you get something at the auction?
Nothing I could afford. Oh, well, something will turn up, I suppose.
Of course, you and Jeff are very smug with your sweater. It's the envy of the whole camp.
I know. We are very proud of it.
Well, we'd better stop guessing and go and do some work.
I suppose so. I'd just like to loll about. I've got no energy. Jeff! Ioli, where are you?
Here, Blanche.
Well, come quickly.
What's the panic?
Oh, hurry. We have to be ready to leave for Montauk in an hour.
Are you sure?
When did this happen?
Mrs. Hinch just told me.
Why, well, the rush. It'll only take us 10 minutes to pack our second pair of duds.
But we've got to get all our tins and cooking gear together and sort it out.
Oh, I've forgotten that. Come on, then.
That's ours, I think. Put it over there.
Is this big tin ours, Jeff?
What about the vats? We aren't supposed to carry those, are we?
No, Ioli. We borrowed that from the English sisters.
Right.
What was that, Blanche?
Are we supposed to carry the rice vats, too?
Well, I don't know. We better ask about
them. You can relax, girls.
We could take a lot of stuff in there.
Hey! You can all stop work.
Huh?
What? We've just been told to unpack again.
Oh, no.
What for?
We aren't going to Montauk. We aren't going anywhere.
Oh, now, really? Who said that, Reen?
Sicky the sadist.
Cast his eyes. Oh, well. Better luck next time.
I'm getting to the end of my tether. Why can't they stick to their word? What are they trying to do?
Get on our nerves.
If that's the idea, they're certainly succeeding as far as I'm concerned. I can't stand any more of this living on a volcano. If we don't get out of this damned hole quickly, I'll go stark raving mad.
Yeah, steady, old thing.
I mean it. We're left here to rot for years and then spend weeks on tenderhooks waiting to get out of it. To go anywhere just to be told we aren't going. I can't stand it.
Blanche.
I can't, I tell you. I can't. I can't. Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blow up like that. It's just everything's so awful. These cursed teeth of mine are giving me the jip. I'm hungry and I want to go home. I'm sorry.
It's all right, old thing. We all feel the same.
I'll go and vent my spleen on the wood heap.
Oh, I must say, I feel like kicking the cat.
Kicking Seeky would be more to the point.
Well, I'd better get this mess tidied away again.
We all felt pretty let down. This is really getting on our nerves, this unsettling business of never knowing what's about to happen. However, yesterday we had plenty to keep us from brooding over things. We didn't have time. It was a wow of a day.
Oh, oh, darn splinters. Oh, dear, I wish there was a scrubbing
brush. Hello, Jeff. What do you think you're doing? Being a newsreel?
No, I've heard everything.
Oh, no, you haven't.
Why, what's happened?
We've had another visit from Seeky.
Oh, I thought it might have been something nice.
He called the 2 commandants and the black market leaders into the guardhouse.
More trouble.
He is furious. He stamped about the place, raving and ranting, and the upshot of it all is that if there are any more dealings with the black market, we will be put in the old jail, in solitary confinement.
Bang goes our supply of biscuits and eggs.
And gula, etc.
Anything else?
The odd banana.
Oh, no, I mean news.
Oh, no. Looks as if it might rain, that's all.
That's hot enough, goodness knows.
Ioli?
Hmm?
Listen. That's a plane.
Oh, it is too.
Let's have a look.
I wonder whose it is.
Oh, probably a stray Jeff.
Slow. Oh. So overcast, you can't see anything. Oh, well. I'm with the choice.
Jeff! Jeff, look!
What?
There! It dived out of the clouds. Oh, Jeff, it's one of ours.
Oh, isn't it beautiful? Oh, there he goes, back into the clouds.
Did you see it, Jeff?
Yes, Reen.
I wish he could have stopped by and picked us up.
Wonder if the Nip spotted him. They did. There are the guns. And there's the siren. What now?
Back to work again.
I suppose we might as well. What a lot of excitement. We got on with our chores, but the fellow pressing the button for the town siren apparently got the jitters and forgot to take his finger off. The siren went 12 times. Later on, when everything had calmed down again, Rasputin arrived with more letters from all over the world. There was excitement and disappointment all over again.
Letters! Letters!
What?
Line up for letters!
Really, Blanche? Yes, Ioli. Rasputin's just come into the camp with them.
Oh, I do hope I get one this time. I don't think I can bear it if I don't.
I'll make a bargain with you, Ioli.
What?
If there isn't one for you, I'll give you a party.
Come on, you two. Hurry up.
You're a dear, Jeff.
But I'd rather have a letter.
Well, that's that. The only letter to come our way was for Jeff.
I know. Well, this is 2 years old, but it is full of news. It's from one of the girls in the 2nd, 7th AGH Middle East. Here you are, Blanche. You read it and hand it round to the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Tawny and Anderson?
With the 13th AGH? Yeah.
Well, they've both been decorated. Tawny with an MBE and Anderson the George Medal.
Oh, how wonderful.
When did that happen? What did they do?
Oh, she doesn't say.
I suppose she thought we'd know. But isn't it grand?
It's just wonderful. I'll go and read this. Thanks, Jeff. I'll pass it on.
Well, Ioli?
You owe me a party, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't understand why you haven't heard from home.
Oh, perhaps a bomb fell on the house when they were all at dinner. But surely it didn't kill everyone I knew.
Oh, of course not. You'll hear next lot of letters, surely. Now, let's have our party. Let's go completely haywire. You eat a lot of coffee.
Where are you going, Jeff?
I'll be back in a minute. I dashed over to a Dutch girl who sold black market cakes to see if she had any left. She did, so I bought a magnificent array of 4 moon cakes, about as big as ping-pong balls, 4 baby goulas, each as big as a penny, and 2 tiny biscuits. They cost me the equivalent of 15 shillings.
What have you got, Jeff?
You'll see. I'll just pick some balsam flowers and put them in a coconut shell, and we'll have the party out in the garden, will we?
That sounds so grand. A garden party.
Oh, sorry I haven't a garden party hat, but I'll put a sewing pit on my head if you like.
Oh, you are a fool, Jeff.
Listen, Ioli, let's be really rash and have the whole of our month's ration of sugar.
What? The whole half cup all at once?
Yes, let's be devils. I'm longing for the taste of sugar. I mean, really, not just the few grains we dole out to ourselves to make it last. Well, it'll be worth it. It'll be a real party. It was a feast. This is the first time we've let our heads go, and it was worth it. We felt so much better for it. And it was worth it to see poor little Ioli lose that sad look as she licked the last of the party off her fingers. I hope next time she gets a letter. It makes so much difference to hear from home.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.